about COI. And yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. FOSTEM is nearing its end. You can feel that. But thanks for staying around. It's been a great time for me, at least. I hope you also enjoyed it. My name is Robert. I'm working at Open Exchange. It's an open source software company, originally started in Germany, but now we've got offices all over the world. We also are the authors of GovCard, one of the world's most popular IMAP servers. We also bring out Creative Commons License Developer's Guide. I've got a couple of copies over there. And I'll be talking about not COI, but COI. That's how we like to pronounce it. That's why we have the fish here as well. Before I start, let me ask you a rhetorical question maybe, but who of you has an active email address? Not everybody? No, it's of course stupid. Everybody has an active email address. And the whole thing about COI is not that we do believe in that email is the best thing of the world and email is the best protocol of the world. No, we don't believe that. But email is the only ubiquitous, open, and federated communication platform that we have there. And if you take one thing away from this talk, it's this. So why are we doing COI? How are we doing that? And what is COI, actually? So let me start with the why. We do have a lot of, messaging systems out there. And these are closed and very monopolistic. Imagine the four biggest mobile messaging systems out there are controlled by two companies, by Facebook and by Tencent. So it's actually in this order. It's WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, then followed by WeChat and QQ Chat, which are both controlled by Tencent. Not really cool if you think about that. So in contrast, how are we going to do that? Based on an open standard. And we are making this by extending the already existing standard or the existing standards of email, most notably IMAP. But this is also in various ways open to other standards. And it has some server parts and it has some client parts. So what we're actually doing is we want to provide an environment for chatting over email, as well as just also like simplifying email for all these billions of active email users out there. As big and dominant, specifically WhatsApp is here in Europe, it's still very small in comparison to email. There are around 1.6 billion active WhatsApp users, and email has around 4 billion active users. So in our belief, it's not all lost, you know, like it's not over yet. So let me guide you through what happened last year. Here at the FOSTEM conference, Michael Slusach and me announced COI to the public. Then the rework started as usual. We drafted some standard proposals. The client one was relatively easy. The server specs were not so easy as you can imagine. We also got a web pro spec out there. I will dig into that a little bit further. That's kind of complicated. We created also some several websites explaining the idea. Implemented the standard proposal in DovCard. So you can actually use it now, today. It's still in beta, though, because like these things take time and they have to really be a lot of hardening needs to go into these things, and we don't want to rush it too much. Our company also creates a webmail product, and we created a prototype around that, presented that one last year. We created also an Android app where we had the very first glimpse of that beta app actually available for last year's FOSTEM, and we iterated upon that, and it has now quite a nice range of features. And I will talk about the app also a little bit more in a sec. So that's all there. Let me explain you a little bit more about the web push standard, because that's something I believe is really a cool development for email as a whole. So the idea was that there's a web push standard that's standardized, it's out there, it's been used by all the browser implementations. And the web push standard allows your web app to receive to get push notifications from your server. And you have like different browser implementations out there, and you don't know like, hey, in what kind of browser am I right now? Where do I need to do that? And so they standardized that, and in the standard they also created a lot of security measures inside there. And we thought actually in email we have a similar problem. There's like so many different email servers out there. There are different email clients out there. And how do they actually get informed about push notifications when there's a new message, which is something very crucial when you're thinking about a chat application. The typical standard implementation nowadays is that you give your credentials over to a certain service that's running on some server that's not controlled by the user, and this server constantly keeps open a connection to that email server. The other solution is that you do that client-side. That's possible with some hacks on Android, but it's for example, not possible on iOS. We adapted this standard a little bit for the IMAPS use case. We implemented also this standard, and we are also in talks with the JMAP guys about, hey, how can we align our push approaches here to unify them, hopefully. Let me shortly explain that how this push things work. So the app starts by querying the Dovecot server. So, but imagine the Dovecot server could be any COI compliant server, and it must not be our app. It can be any client, and it reads the WebPID key. The WebPID key is basically a public key that the server uses to verify its push messages that it sends out. The server responds with that key, and we're actually having that in metadata embedded, so it's an existing IMAP protocol already. And then the client informs his push service about this WebPID key, also generates a push token on his site, and also lets the push service know like what kind of platform do I run on. Is it like iOS, Android, could be also macOS or Windows or Linux for that case. What's important here, the push service doesn't get any credentials, you know, so that push service doesn't know shit. The push service now creates a push resource, remembers most notably the WebPID key for that, but also the push token. And that push resource is then forwarded to the server. And now we do have a valid subscription. What you can also see here is that the client also generates some elliptic curve keys, and these are being used in the end-to-end encryption mechanism. Again, this is standardized by the already existing web push standard. We just needed to adapt it for IMAP. Now everything is well, right? Something is not so well. The Dovecot team was concerned about like, hey, now can any client come and just like spam me with invalid push subscriptions and basically bog down my service for that? And also the push service team was concerned about like, can I really trust that this push resource is being actively used? But is that a valid one? So we came up with a validation cycle that's happening after the successful subscription. So what is happening is, in this case, that the server is creating a validation token, validation secret. This is not specified what it is. It's just like it needs to be a key and some textual form here. This is being end-to-end encrypted then and forwarded to the push service. The push service cannot read the contents, but the request is signed with a rapid key, with the public key of the Dovecot server, so it can validate this request. And after validation, it knows, hey, this push resource is actually very legit. So it's actually being used, and it's used in a way that I expected. It now forwards this end-to-end encrypted validation push message to the client, and the Apple or Google infrastructure in between cannot read the contents. You know, they just know that this push service is actually sending with a valid token some information that's encrypted towards this device. They wouldn't even know that this is an email, for example, or originating from an IMAP in the first place. And now the app can actually decrypt this message, reads out the validation part of that, and calls a corresponding call on Dovecot. And now everybody's happy, everybody's validated, and we know that this is a good subscription. And in this way, we have actually a lot of benefits. You know, so the push service does not have the credentials of the user. The push service does not know about the contents of the messages that are being transmitted throughout the push service. So even if you break into that push service, there's not much to gain. You know, so it's not a good target, neither for surveillance measures or for hackers who just are interested in that. Also, that's what I personally like about it. Neither can Apple or Google read that stuff. There was a talk today in the distributed internet dev room about an open push implementation, which is very cool for Android, but they haven't figured out the encryption so far. So in this way, by using WebPush, we do have an end-to-end encryption, and by having this based on WebPush, we are actually not in starting from fresh, but we are building up on a proven standard that's being used in production already out there. So I like that part very much. We also developed an app. This app is Flutter-based. Flutter is a relatively new framework from Google. Allows you to create quite nice applications for mobiles, and now it's also moving somewhat to the desktop systems, so that's something that we are also looking for. It's open source, obviously, under the Mozilla Public License published. On its core, we are using DataChat. DataChat is an open source project that we have contributed before. DataChat also tries to provide a chat option over email, but they only do that from a purely client perspective. We do both sides in Koi. We do the server side as well as the client side. With our clients, we can also talk with any IMAP server or SMTP server. They don't need to be compliant to the Koi spec, but if they happen to be Koi compliant, then we can enable these great new features like real-time push notifications. We knew DataChat before. We helped them to port their app towards the new Signal UI, so they are not redoing the complete UI from scratch, but they reused Signal and adapted the core into that and so on. We helped them in this adventure. So we already knew it a little bit, and we thought, like, hey, why do we need to re-implement the whole IMAP and SMTP stacks, the persistence and so on? Let's just use their core, which coincidentally also was licensed under the Mozilla Public License, so pretty cool. When we started, this core was still written in C, but they already told us, you know, like, there's this new language, Rust, and we really love that, and we want to port it over. And then the porting started from C to Rust, and then all hell broke loose, basically. For us, we had really to struggle to bring some of our Koi-specific extensions into that core. And at the same time, I think we are a bit overwhelmed with the with the whole architecture and several parts of that has been transcoded automatically and so on. So that was a bit difficult for us. And right now we don't know how to proceed here. So I just have limited time, so let me very speedily go through the plan. So lots of plans for the apps, lots of plans for Dovecart. We are also working on our enabling our WebMail product to also become call compliant. You can already download the app. You can also download it now on iOS, by the way. Since 2 days, it's now publicly available on iOS 2. We have to work on the standard, so we are actually need to submit that to the respective bodies and so on. So we have started discussing these things already. And there are many, many new ideas that we want to do. And in regards to data chat, we have to see like how we can work around that. And actually, we need to either really like double in, really get into data chat core development, or we need to come up with our own client middleware. And that's actually something that I'm experimenting with. It's very experimental. It's very immature. But it already is a pure Dart-based environment for the command line. And with that, I'm at the end of my talk. We need help, so please try it out, report bugs. If you do happen to be a developer, help us code this thing. Get in touch. Thank you.
It's time for one question here.
Thank you for mentioning DeltaChat. I actually was at another conference and talked with somebody. Oh, I heard about this email chat thing, and they also heard about email and chat, but they talked about Delta, I talked about COIL, and it took us some time to understand, oh, those are two different projects, how do they relate? And then I also found out that some people thought that there was some disagreement, and now I'm happy that you actually acknowledge Delta Chat. And just, do you think it would make sense, since we are already fighting big competitors, to try to combine on one of those projects to get rid of this confusion?
Yeah, it's actually a good idea, yeah. I do think that we need to work on both sides, on the server side as well as on the client side. So on a pure client project, that's something I don't believe in long term. But you are absolutely right about data chat in principle, and that we should try to align both of these projects.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm also sticking around.
No, I think maybe
you want to,
if there are more questions, just meet the speaker here or maybe outside. Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you.